Revelation 2, verse 14 says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." Well, this is not a church. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everybody. The baby boomer generation, I'm a baby boomer. If they were raised in a Christian home, I was raised a Methodist, by the way, were taught thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, but thou shalt not race mix was nowhere to be found in the Ten Commandments, even though it's right there. In the 1950s, racial matters were taking on a new perspective from very influential Jews. It was a given at that time that God made white people distinct from all the other races of the earth, and that he separated us by kind and geography. Now, the Jews had to influence the pulpits of America to influence the people into a new way of looking at other races. That influence was egalitarian, meaning racial equality, and love thy neighbor took on a whole new dimension by redefining biblical terms that pertained only to Israel, the people of the Bible. The conceptual contrast can be seen between our own Bible and that of the Jewish Talmud. Leviticus 19:18 says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear a grudge against the children of thy people, but shall love your neighbor as yourself." The context is racial, thy people. Now, the Jewish Tanakh, on the other hand, translates it quite differently. It says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against your countrymen. Love your fellow as yourself." The context is now geographical and eliminates neighbor as your own kind. The divinity of Jesus Christ is hated by the Jews because his genealogy, back to the first white man, Adam, was a seed line of racial purity. The genealogy of the Jews is an ancestry of mingled seed, whether it is traced as far back as Cain, or to Esau, or to Eastern European Ashkenazi Jews, whom 95% of Jewry are connected to and come from the Turco-Mongol Khazars of the 9th century A.D. Genesis 3:15 is the distinction between the racially pure and the racially impure, and the subsequent conflicts that would arise throughout history. God's prohibition against these interracial relationships was one means of protecting the racial purity of his people. "I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people," other races. Leviticus 20:24. And Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Nehemiah 13:3. God was against multicultural diversity. Jews promote it. Therefore, by Jewish logic, God is the first racist who must be condemned, and his laws of racial integrity must be reversed, becoming anti-racist, which is a code word for anti-white. It is utterly astounding how Jews have managed to apply racism to only one race of people, us. We have our own shepherds to blame for the Jewish subversion. As early as 1920, Henry Ford spent $1 million of his own dollars, which by today's standards would, I guess, be about $20 million or more, was publishing his monumental investigation called The International Jew, exposing their penetration into the church and other venues. And by the way, he put a copy in every glove compartment of Model Ts that came off the assembly line. He loved his fellow white Christian Americans that much. Well, in the chapter dealing with the churches and Jewry, Ford stated, "The last place the uninstructed observer would look for traces of Jewish influence is in the Christian church. Yet if he fails to look there, he will miss much. If the libraries of our theological seminaries were equipped with complete files of Jewish literary effort during recent decades, and if the theological students were required to read these Jewish utterances, there would be less silly talk and fewer easy marks for Jewish propaganda in the American pulpit. For the next 25 years, every theological seminary should support a chair for the study of modern Jewish influence and the protocols. The fiction that the Jews are the Old Testament people faithful to the Mosaic law would then be exploded, and timid Christians would no longer superstitiously hesitate to speak the truth about them because of that sadly misinterpreted text, 'I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee.' There is a mission for the pulpit to liberate the church from what the New Testament scriptures call the fear of the Jews. The pulpit also has the mission of liberating the church from the error that Judah and Israel are synonymous. The reading of the scriptures, which confuse the tribe of Judah with Israel, and which interpret every mention of Israel as signifying the Jews, is at the root of more than one half of the confusion and division traceable in Christian doctrinal statements. The Jews are not the chosen people, though practically the entire church has succumbed to the propaganda which declares them to be so. The Jews are not the chosen people, though practically the entire church has succumbed to the propaganda which declares them to be so. It is perfectly in keeping with the Jewish World Program that this destructive influence should be sent out under Jewish auspices, and is perfectly in keeping with non-Jewish trustfulness to accept the thing without looking at its source. The church is now victim of a second attack against her in the rampant socialism and Sovietism that have been thrust upon her in the name of flabby and immoral theories of brotherhood in an appeal to her fairness. Jews have actually invaded in person and in program hundreds of American churches with their subversive and impossible social ideals, and at last became so cocksure of their domination of the situation that they were met with the inevitable check. Clergymen ought to know that 7/8 of the economic mush they speak from the pulpit is prepared by Jewish professors of political economy and revolutionary leaders. The Jew has got hold of the church in doctrine, in liberalism, so-called, and in the feverish and feeble sociological diversions of many classes. If there is any place where a straight study of the Jewish question should be made, it is in the modern church, which is unconsciously giving allegiance to a mass of Jewish propaganda. It is not reaction that is counseled here. It is progress along constructive paths, the paths of our forefathers, the Anglo-Saxons, who have this day been the world builders, the makers of cities and commerce and continents, and not the Jews, who have never been builders or pioneers, who have never pioneered the wilderness, but who move upon the labors of other men. They are not to be blamed for not being builders or pioneers, perhaps. They are to be blamed for claiming all the rights of pioneers. But even then, perhaps, their blame ought not to be so great as the blame that rests upon the sons of the Anglo-Saxons for rejecting the straightforward building of their fathers and taking up with the doubtful ideas of Judah, end quote. Well, no doubt that last statement of Judah is said sarcastically, referring to the masquerade, which all of Jewry is gambling on for world domination and power. Now, Billy Graham and other religious prostitutes on the Jewish payroll will say the Bible doesn't say anything about interracial marriages, even though it most certainly does. But I'm sure the rabbis are gleefully rubbing their fingers when they instruct their Feinsteins and Bloombergs to legislate more and more laws favorable to race mixing. I'm also sure the rabbis are quite familiar with today's scripture reading about the doctrine of Balaam. What is this doctrine that you never hear about in the Judeo churches? Although there are allusions to it as an error of Cain mated with pre-Adamites in Jude 2:11. And the teachings of a false prophet who bring damnable heresies in 2 Peter 2:1 and 15. The specific import of the doctrine of Balaam has been twisted to remove the racial intent. If we can rely upon one of the most respected historians of ancient times, and there's no reason not to, Josephus fills the gap where the Bible is lacking. In his account of the prophet Balaam advising Balak, the ruler of the Moabites, that he must do the following in order to destroy the Israelites. Quote, "If you gain a victory over them," meaning the Israelites, "set out the most handsomest of your daughters, then send them to be near the Israelites, And when they are enamored of them, persuade them to leave off their obedience to their own laws and the word of that God who established them. For by this means God will be angry at them. End quote. We must clearly understand the point here. Racial aliens, unable to destroy the Israelites openly, try to make them violate God's law through miscegenation. The proof that destruction is certain is that Isaac's sons, the Saxons, have been destroyed in every country where race mixing has occurred. And it almost always happens because of a religious rationalization for the proximity of alien races to Israelites. The thinking goes, oh, well, as long as they're here, we might as well be nice to them. And the next thing you know is that your daughter is knocked up and you have hybrid grandchildren. But as far as proximity goes, the word of God says they shall not dwell in thy land. Once they are here, the curse of divine judgment is in thy land just as we have it today. There are no blessings from multicultural diversity and amalgamation any more than the Tower of Babel. I'd venture to guess that the doctrine of Balaam has infiltrated 90-95% of the churches, if not more, because of the tainted Masoretic text translated by Antichrist Jews. What was the stumbling block cast before the children of Israel? It was to commit fornication. That's what we just read in today's scripture reading in Revelation 2:14. Well, Strong's Concordance and most Bible dictionaries have a poor to misleading translations of the Greek word porneia, 4202, as simply fornication, which can inadvertently lead our people to the sin of race mixing. But this can be proven with the exchange Jesus had with the mongrel Edomite Jews in John 8:41, where they said, "We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, God." Our first impression here is that this is a misuse of the word fornication as simply sexual intercourse. However, as Jesus explains further on, it's a difference in genetic background. Jesus said unto them, meaning the Jews, "If God were your father, you would love me." A better word than fornication would have been whoredom, as an allusion to Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard, meaning a mongrel or half-breed, not an illegitimate child out of wedlock, a bastard shall not enter the congregation. The NIV says, "No one born of a forbidden marriage." Well, who were the Israelites forbidden to marry? It would be people like the Ammonites or the Moabites mentioned in verse 3 who were mongrels. Why do modern Bible dictionaries exclude any reference to half-breeds, mongrels, or miscegenation? Well, obviously, it is to obscure the sin of marrying those races whom God had forbidden the Israelites to marry. Christ goes on to accuse these Jews of having both Abraham and Diablos as their father. The Jews were a mixed race people who could not identify with the truth of God. They were natural-born liars. Remember that when discerning the Spirit, if someone is of God. Now, adultery is not always an illicit affair among married people within their own kind in the Old Testament. But it could also be race mixing. In the New Testament, it is distinguished often from the word fornication. Race mixing was always closely associated with pagan religions. The confusion comes by disassociating these pagan idolatries from pagan races. They were inextricably bound together in ancient times. You didn't race mix because of alien gods, because the alien gods came with the territory. Both were sin. The ancient pagan religions had nothing whatsoever to do with spirituality as interfaith Judeo-Christianity perceives it today, but rather were fertility religions pertaining to sex, which had no laws prohibiting sex with other races. If the average Christian cannot find these laws of God, they're not looking hard enough. I'm not going to tell you what they are today because I have other sermons that deal with that. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. They're there. They may have heard of Baal worship, which God considered an abomination, but they are not told by their ministers today that Baal worship included race mixing. We have Baal priests in Christian churches today who are race traitors, who are paid extravagantly, or should we say bribed, with millions of dollars to betray Jesus Christ and the white race. The modern denominational members of the typical Baal church are saying the same thing as the Pharisees said to Jesus, "We have one Father, even God." Jesus told them who their real father was, "And the lust of your father will ye do." That's not our God. The apostate church is no different than Esau, whose seed had gone astray and married outside of his race, polluting it forever. Both despise their birthright. Well, what is Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis do with Jude 7, where fornication is clearly tied to the pursuit of strange flesh, that is, other races? Well, this wealthy expert of false beliefs takes Revelation 2:14 and has redacted, taken a black felt pen, just crossed out what he didn't like, all references to race mixing. He suggests with a straight face, evidently, that the swarthy beauties were merely proselytizing their pagan religion rather than tempting the young Israelites into bed. Does Ken Ham not have eyes to see the Jewish advertising, movies, and TV that promote and entice young white boys into the sack with dolled up Jezebels? I've heard white boys say how cute Halle Berry is, and it's not because of any religious message she may have. Ken Ham blames Satan for a spiritualized fornication to trick people into compromising with the world. Well, I blame Ken Ham for tricking people into thinking there's nothing wrong with race mixing. He has compromised the real meaning of the doctrine of Balaam by undermining the lust for strange flesh that fornication explicitly conveys. He plays the old bait and switch game by disappearing, race mixing down the memory hole, and switching it with his pet doctrine of bashing evolution, which is replaced with his own version of a fast-track evolution for the book of Genesis, a sick philosophy of race mixing as elucidated in the biblical rendering of the doctrine of Balaam. It's a rationalization for sin, Mr. Ham. Race mixing is not Christian. Race mixing is communist, and communism is Jewish. Jewish communism is the big melting pot for breaking down the walls of racial, ethnic, and religious divisions in order to create one indistinguishable genetic soup for mass consumption. But God prohibits miscegenation because he created racial identities. Jews are history's foremost race mixers and hypocrites and promoters of mongrelization. Racial tension can best be understood through Jewish incitement and social engineering. And ultimately, the Jewish machinations for breeding out pure races, not just whites, and ushering in an era of one homogenized breed is nothing less than genocide. The enemy of God, Browning America, if it continues at this pace, in 200 years, will be void of anybody having a racial identity. Their family tree will be a dead stump. But I don't think that will happen, being that God has brought forth the Christian identity message to crush the house of Esau, where there shall not be any remaining. Obadiah 1:18. 95% of world Jewry is Eastern European Ashkenazi, a racial stock comprised of Khazar Edomite blood. The Jewish Encyclopedia states Edom is in modern Jewry. Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob for some red pottage. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Edom means red. It is impossible for Edomite Jews to call themselves Israelites. Jacob remained racially pure while his brother Esau took alien wives. Therefore, a great controversy emerges from ancient times to the present manifestation of red communism created by Jews between those who have maintained their racial integrity from God and those who have not. The fury of red terror and racial chaos can be explained only as a manifestation of Jewish hatred against white Christian civilization. The civil rights movement was instigated at the behest of Jewish money and brains. The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, and the SNCC, the Students for Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, were founded and controlled by Jews. The white churches of America were dealt a near deadly blow when the Jews, with their media and money power, selected Billy Graham as their star preacher to promote race mixing. Now, if there was ever a religious icon who became the most treacherous race mixer in the world, it was him. My mom used to just love watching his crusades on TV. because he was groomed to be exalted and venerated. But he was just a con artist, a charmer, a snake oil salesman. In a published article, Graham said, "There admittedly may be practical problems in some cases because of cultural differences or because of social prejudice, which have to be considered. But as a general principle, the Bible doesn't prohibit interracial marriage or say that a person must only marry from his or her own racial or ethnic group," end quote. I guess he missed reading about putting away strange wives and children in Ezra and Nehemiah. Some research indicates that Graham's real name is Franks and that his ancestry is Jewish and is purported to be a 33-degree Mason, which explains why he was high priest to presidents of the United States Government, Inc. Since the redemption of Adam Israel by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Spirit in the white race has been accomplished. However, what if there were no white people left on earth in which God's Spirit could dwell? God would have no place to dwell, at least not on earth. It's quite conceivable then for the enemies of God, the Jews, to destroy the ability of our race to propagate, and the surest way to do that, short of killing us outright, is to mix our racial stock, producing what the Bible calls bastards or mongrels. The end product is a mixed breed, empty of an undefiled body, filled with the tainted genetics of a hybrid, void of the Spirit or temple in which God can dwell. Now, this breed of Jews, as well as all other mixed breeds, have violated God's biological creation of kind after kind, and therefore cannot worship the God creator of pure, undefiled races. They have defiled God's original intent and sponsor the proliferation of more ungodly defiance. I am increasingly becoming more and more angry with those who call themselves Christian identity pastors who betray the foundation of our movement with overt flirtations and absurd platitudes that can only be seen as the philosophical thinking of universalism, removing themselves from the clear admonitions of Scripture prohibiting the permutations of race mixing. I'll give you some examples. And I very, very rarely give names of offenders, but this is all happening much too frequently, raising red flags, and it must be addressed, lest these shameful utterances should, God forbid, become accepted in and as normal Christian identity standards. The first is Eli James. And he's at the top of the list with so many universalist ideas stacking up against him that he should no longer be considered a representative of God's racial message. He has proclaimed that a person can have 15% Jewish blood and still be considered white. 16% not an Israelite. 15% gets a free pass. Are we really that stupid? William Fink did a program on March 16th titled The Universalism of Eli James, documenting Eli's disgraceful departure from Christian identity standards. Straight from the horse's mouth, from audio recordings in which he advocated universalism. I will have a link to that program on our website as soon as we get this message out there. The exhibits presented were without personal attacks, and yet Eli has responded not to his own words, but ad hominems to his critics. It's like when we quote Jewish sources that reveals very damning and incriminating evidence. What do? They accuse us of anti-Semitism. They don't address the issue. The next one is Daniel Johns, also known as Pastor Dan, was recently exposed from his own prideful display on Facebook with photo after photo of his mongrel wife at an adult Halloween party, inclusive of non-whites and lots of liquor. And he denies any wrongdoing. Dave Barley has been regurgitating the nonsensical universalism of the reconciliation of all things for years. But his most recent bipolar newsletter, the February-March 2013, and I'm going to quote it verbatim. It goes over the edge and into the abyss by saying, quote, I do want it understood that I am not against racially mixed people. Oh, let me stop right there. So he's not against Obama, who epitomizes the mongrel in our midst? He goes on to say, what happened to them is not their fault. It was the fault of their parents. Well, what if their parents were racially mixed? Now they can be bitter and angry about this, or they can seek the healing, leading power of the Holy Spirit and seek to be an instrument of healing and truth and biblical understanding. I am not saying, nor do I believe, that we cannot witness the good news of Jesus Christ to the other races. I have lovingly, kindly, and patiently witnessed the gospel of Christ to many dark-skinned people and will happily do so whenever the opportunity presents itself. End quote. Well, isn't that special? Apparently, after all these years, he doesn't have a clue about who it is that the Great Commission was assigned to and for. There's another pastor, this one will go unnamed, who sent out an email last week asking if anybody knew anything about some guy that wanted him to be on his internet radio program for a debate. It sounded like he might have some scruples. Well, it took me about 2 minutes to Google the name and discover that the guy was black. So I emailed him back, and I told him, it's a nigger, thinking that that would be the end of it. But I heard that he went ahead and did the show anyway. Evidently, his scruples didn't have anything to do with race. Are we that dysfunctional that we give more than crumbs that fall from our Father's table? Here, have another slice of bread of life. Can I butter it for you? There's much more, but I think you get the point. Houston, we have a problem. We have a race-mixing problem. When our own pastors are doing the mixing and self-righteously deny giving that which is holy to the dogs. It goes without saying that when you cast your pearls before swine, meaning the unclean heathen, they will turn and rend you. They will try to harm you. Well, this is one pulpit that will never deny the exclusivity of Israel and God's exclusion of the other races in His plan for the ages. Otherwise, the aforementioned pastors have no right to claim a kinsman redeemer until such time that that Jewish-inspired universalism is repented of. The world sinks back into decadence and degeneracy with Antichrist Jews in control and the influence peddling that brainwashes our kindred. And unfortunately, too many of God's Israelite people have been seduced by profiting from their cooperation with Jews to promote interracial fornication. These race traders may enjoy their bank accounts momentarily, but God is not mocked. Whenever you see a multicultural society, you will see God's wrath and judgment. There are no blessings ever from race mixing. The concept of the brotherhood of man is as satanic as the Tower of Babel. The curse upon our land for believing the mongrel Jew is that we shall become the tail and they shall become the head. For fear of the Jews, they might call us racist. But our only concern should be our divine calling. And my God is racist. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Our people have forsaken God's law, to wit, thou may not set a stranger over thee which is not thy brother. Deuteronomy 17:15. The Jew and the non-whites are not our brethren. They are the spiritless alien stranger. They have mixed blood and mixed up mentalities. They know that it has always been white Christian nations that have proclaimed liberty and proclaimed and protected inalienable rights. It is the same race mixers and race traders who promulgate draconian laws of the mislabeled Patriot Act and conspire for an international hate crime law to protect Jews from anti-Semitism in a new world order, a police state under martial law run by Jews and their two-legged mixed-breed monsters of the future. Their opposition to the divine plan is clearly laid out in the scheming tactics of Marxist dialectics. The Chicago Jewish Sentinel published an article by Julia Steiner about the Commission on the Prevention of Intermarriage, reporting that in the Torah, Jews are reportedly warned that intermarriage endangers the survival of the Jewish people. The news release goes on to say that those who work with our youth must make an active effort to inhibit intermarriage both by speaking out against it and giving our youngsters positive reasons to remain Jewish. End quote. And yet, on the other hand, out of the other side of their dialectic mouth, Rabbi Abraham Feinberg has stated, until we learn to fight our ingrown fears of sexual relations between the races, the end of the race problem will not be in sight. Such a change will involve an inside-out remodeling of the white psyche, the deliberate encouragement of interracial marriages is the only way to hasten the process. We will never completely eliminate racial prejudice until we eliminate separate races, end quote. And then to put frosting on the kosher cake, Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich, in a speech before the Emergency Council of European Rabbis, said in 1952, quote, "We will openly reveal our identity with the races of Asia and Africa. I can state with assurance that the last generation of white children is now being born. Our control commission will, in the interest of peace and wiping out interracial tensions, forbid whites to mate with whites. The white woman must cohabit with members of the dark races, and the white men with black women. Thus the white race will disappear, for mixing the dark with the white means the end of the white man, and our most dangerous enemy will only become a memory. We shall embark upon an era of 10,000 years of peace and plenty, the Pax Judaica, and our race will rule undisputed over the earth. Our superior intelligence will easily enable us to retain mastery over the world of dark peoples," end quote. Is it any wonder, then, that Jews fueled the passage of the Supreme Court decision in 1954 to desegregate the schools? The civil rights movement has come a long way, baby, thanks to the unfolding fulfillment of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, a pack of cunning and conniving Judeo-Masonic wolves who whisper grandiloquent platitudes while inflicting untold injury. Their banner cry of freedom and equality of rights on an international scale of brotherhood brings the mindless mob to do its bidding, both in the thinking that they can do whatever it wishes against every kind of authority, including God and the laws of nature. After all, it takes an African village to raise your white children up in the ways of Jewish pawnbrokers and carpetbaggers, according to Jewish media-generated presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton. As Protocol 9 boasts, "We have fooled, bemused, and corrupted the youth of the Goyim by rearing them in principles and theories which are known to us to be false, although it is by us that they have been inculcated. We can now witness the education in the public fool system of a mere half century whereby white children become the victims of an assassinated degenerate deity's dream, Martin Luther King." Well, the reason most people get upset over these kinds of messages about race and Jewish duplicity is because they already have a mental conditioning, like clay in the hands of a Jewish potter, and believe that all races are equal and equally loved by God. If that's true, then the messengers of equality and redistribution of wealth should have their obscene assets divided amongst the poor races of the third world. But they know that their golden rule, "he who has the most gold rules," prevents them from surrendering their bottom line of profits. It is not love of their fellow humans that motivates them, but rather it's the love of mammon. Race mixing has become a top-selling product, complete with consumer dedication and unparalleled advertising blitz. However, if one is to believe the Bible, this multicultural phenomenon is nearing the end of its shelf life. "I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, to corrupt our people by tempting them to marry alien races, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to commit fornication, miscegenation. And in Jude 11, we read, woe unto them, meaning the filthy dreamers of verse 8, who defile the flesh, that is, the race, and despise dominion and speak evil of dignities, like racial purity. For they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, in other words, race mixing. And they did it for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah, which was a rebellion against the apostles, preferring the Mosaic authority. Well, Jews really do hate white Christian civilization and want to destroy us down to the last man. Race mixing is just one avenue in which to accomplish that goal. The awful truth is that they don't have to force it upon us when we do it willingly. We are truly a backslidden people. We are reminded of this stubbornness when we drive 100 miles to a Bible study meeting and half the people walk out on us because of race. The whole subject of race has been one of consternation and confusion to most white Christians, exacerbated by Jewish philosophy and economic blackmail. Political correctness has gone to such depths of depravity that crimes have been invented to prosecute thoughts not in harmony with an integrated society, which carried to its logic conclusion would be a world in which there is only one homogenized breed of human. All pure races will have been eliminated through subtle programs of genocide. Well, this series of articles, sermons, will continue to expose those Jewish elements determined to destroy us. And I pray that it's been a blessing to you, that you are now armed and equipped with the truth that only God can deliver us from his enemies and ours.